Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Your word sometimes is puzzling and confusing. At times it's shocking and surprising. At times it's plain and simple. And we ask you to make sense of this story for us, that we can apply it for our lives and it can be useful and helpful for the week ahead. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this past week I was at a clergy convocation, or it's like a conference of 3 days for ministers, and they often call it bishop's convocation. And the theme of it this time was risky business, and talked about how can we be risky in our church, how can we be risky in our ministry, how can we be risky as clergy. And so we were learning about these topics. They were homelessness and poverty, immigration, and the gay issue. And the focus was about taking risks in these areas. Today is also the fifth Sunday where we had the surveys, you know, that you filled out with your top sermon topics, and then you checked which one you like. And, well, the one that got 20 votes were where is God in an unjust world? So today I'm talking about that. So it's kind of ironic that we were staying at Indian Wells. Have any of you ever been to Indian Wells? It's kind of past Palm Springs, like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And we stayed at this resort. It's called Renaissance Esmeralda Resort. 4 stars out of 5. So we're talking about all this stuff, and there are palm trees, golf courses, swimming pools, hot tubs. Of course, the rooms are really nice. All the Aveda products, you know, in the bathroom, all lined up in the little bottles. Nice soaps. And the meals were served to us, and the rooms were cleaned every day. You could have new sheets, new towels if you want every time, and we could have more recreation. So here we are in this fancy place talking about that stuff. And it kind of helped me, because then I thought about, well, where is God in this unjust world if I'm there in this comfortable place? So I wanted to talk about 3 different speakers that were there. The first one, her name was Lorenza Andrade Smith, and she's a minister ordained in the Southwest Texas Conference. Her assignment and her appointment is to work with the poor and the homeless. See a picture of her there. So she's an ordained minister, just like me. But she was trying to convince her bishop that she wanted to do outreach homeless ministry. Basically, to be present with them, to listen and learn. And the bishop at first refused to send her out there, but finally he gave in. So she gave up her home, she gave up her salary, and she gave up her pension. And it's a 3-year program. So she goes out and she sleeps on the street. And whenever she has the opportunity, she serves communion to them. So she shared this one story with us. She said that one day she was out there and she was arrested. She didn't say why she was arrested, but she was thrown in jail. So I've never been to jail, so I don't know what this is like, but she said that there's this large space, right, and there are several beds, and that there's other prisoners there. So she was put way in the back, and then it was dark late at night, like 11 o'clock when she was admitted in, and she said that there was only one light, and the light was from the TV, and the TV had some news channel on. And so what was showing all of a sudden, ironically, was her. She was in her clergy collar, and she was being featured in something. So the prisoners were watching TV and saw her and realized that's her. So the prison guards were also watching and they realized, ooh, that's her. So they moved her closer, her bed closer. So she was telling us this story and she said that, okay, she settled into the prison, but then she had to go to the bathroom. And in jail, the bathroom doesn't have privacy doors, you know, so they can, it's open. So she said she went over there, and then there's this one person that said, and realized that she was a pastor, and she said, can I have prayer? So she gave prayer with that person. And by the time the prayer was over, she didn't have to go to the bathroom. So she went back to her bed. And then a few minutes later, she felt it again. Oh, I need to go to the bathroom. So she goes to the bathroom. Another person's there and said, can I have prayer? And she said, sure. So she offers prayer. And then at the end of the prayer, there's no need to go to the bathroom. So she goes back. Finally, a third time she goes, and there's another person there that says, can we have prayer? And she finally said, I'm just going to have to go to the bathroom and say the prayer at the same time. So where is God in an unjust world? She would say that God is there in the prison, that God was there with her as she was ministering to these prisoners, as she was a pastor there for those persons. Lorenza Andrade Smith said that God calls us to be in places that are vulnerable and sometimes unsanitary. God is in that difficult place. Now, when we were staying at the hotel, right, we're in this fancy, she chose not to stay there, but she wanted to honor her ministry. So she slept out on the streets that night, somewhere in that area. Someone just dropped her off somewhere. Then she came back throughout the conference. The second speaker I would like to share is about Reverend John Fanastil. I think he's like 2 years older than me. And his ministry is with immigration and immigrants and the border. And he too serves communion to these people. So apparently there's this, it's called Friendly Park, and there's this gate. There are people on the United States side who are U.S. citizens and, of course, people on the other side. So what he was sharing with us was that he said that some of these Mexican nationals were deported. And so they're on the Mexican side, but some of their kids, because they're born in the U.S., are on the U.S. side. And some of the kids have had kids too, so the grandkids sometimes are there too on the other side. So the only way for them to meet is at the fence because those who are deported obviously can't cross back over. So they would have a worship service there on Sundays and they would pray, they would sing. He would have communion there and I think he would work with someone on the other side too and they had communion. But I think that you're not supposed to pass anything through the gate because you could be, that's illegal and you could be arrested too. He would say, where is God in this unjust world? He would say that God is there at the fence. God is there where we're having that worship service and taking communion. The third speaker I want to tell you about, his name is Jeffrey Kwan, and he is the president of the seminary that I went to, and he was newly hired. On the last day, he gave a Bible study on Joshua, which Mark read this morning. So I want to share with you some of the stuff of the Bible study. Joshua 2 is about the people of Israel who had been wandering in the wilderness for years and years. It's finally time for them to go into the promised land, into Canaan. They were going to go into Jericho. Now, if you remember in your Sunday school class, Jericho had some very high walls and very thick walls. So Joshua wanted to send spies in there to check it out, right? So they go there, and there is this prostitute, and her name is Rahab. And apparently, according to scriptures, Rahab lives in the wall. So I guess in parts of the wall, she lives, maybe there's like a home in there, I don't know. So she's neither inside or outside, and she's in the wall. What I found interesting about Jeffrey Kwan was he started to talk about his identity. And he talked about how he was born in Malaysia. And in Malaysia, I think there's three groups of people. There's Malay, Indian, and Chinese. And he's Chinese. So, but now he lives in the United States. So his past is Chinese from Malaysia, but now he's part of the American culture. So the way he described himself is he said that he's a hybrid person. You know, he's not entirely in one culture, not entirely in another, but he's like this mixture. He's like in between, maybe like the prostitute who's having to live in between, in the wall, in between the outside, in between the inside, and you're going back and forth. And I was really able to relate to that because I was thinking about, yeah, I was born in Hawaii, but my background's Filipino, and now I live here, and I'm this hybrid person trying to relate to the different sides of who I am. Some of you, I'm sure, are hybrid people too, trying to figure out and adapt and live to adjust according to the needs. And so the spies meet this prostitute. And so what Jeffrey Kwan was saying, the prostitute usually is not interested in a person's who they are, where they come from, where they're going. They're just mainly interested in the income, right? So they're not concerned about the history or the identity or the journey of whoever. And so according to scripture, these spies stay with her. Stay overnight. Now, if you let your imagination run a little bit, you fear they're staying with her. Oh, okay, what's going to happen? But we don't go there, right? All we know is they stay there. Somehow, the king finds out, apparently he has informants, finds out that there are spies there with Rahab, and so she brings them to the top of the roof, and there are stalks of flax, and so she hides them there. So the king's men come over, and apparently, I guess Rahab knew that the men were coming over. She must have had her own informants as well. So when they come there, they ask her where these men are. She says, oh yeah, I saw those men, but they already left. So you should go this way and maybe you can find them. She fooled the king. She fooled the king's men. And she was talking to these spies. And she says this, I know that the Lord has given you the land. The dread has fallen on us and the inhabitants of the land. We melt in fear before you because we heard about how the Lord dried up the Red Sea and how you came out of Egypt and what you did to those kings. And you destroyed them. And as we heard about it, our hearts melted. Surely the Lord your God is in heaven. The Lord your God is on earth. So Dr. Kwan was saying that Rahab is almost like giving an affirmation of faith. You know how we sometimes recite the Apostles' Creed? He was saying that this is what she says. I know that God has given you this land, how God dried up the Red Sea after he came out of Egypt, and the Lord is indeed God of heaven and earth. So she is giving a declaration of her beliefs now. She acknowledges the God of Israel. Where is God in an unjust world? According to Rahab, God is in heaven, but God is on earth. So the point being that God is not only in heaven, but God is on earth working things out, and God is present as she and the spies are interacting together. So, what happens next? The spies make a deal with Rahab. They make a contract. She said, if you spare my family when you folks come and invade, I will help you. And the spies say, well, okay, if we go back against our word, may we die as well if we betray you. But when the Lord gives us this land, we will be kind to you and you will be spared. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Joshua, if you go back to chapter 1, God says this to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to the law of Moses, and don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, so that you can succeed. Let the book of the law not depart from your mouth, for you shall meditate on it day and night, and make sure you follow it in everything that's written in it. This is part of the law of Moses in Exodus 23. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, from the desert to the Euphrates River. I will give into your hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out. Do not make a covenant with them, with their gods. What did the spies do? They made a covenant with a prostitute. They made a covenant with a foreigner, with this outsider, with this stranger. Not only did they make a covenant with this foreigner, but someone who is unsavory character. Who gave them the authority to break the covenant? Who gave them the authority to break the law of Moses? And for them, the law of Moses is their Bible. Did Joshua give them authority to do that? Could they do that? They're not supposed to. The commandment says, don't make exceptions. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. You will succeed if you keep the law entirely. But the spies override their Bible. That was their Bible, and they didn't follow it. And was it un-Jewish for them to do that? I guess not. Because this story is included in the narrative of their journey into the promised land. Where is God in an unjust world? According to this scripture, God is there when different worlds collide. God is there working with people when they decide, and God is there when they work side by side. God is there when they collide, decide, work side by side. Now, from the modern day Christian point of view, where is God in an unjust world? You say, well, I came across this author, Elie Wiesel, who is a Holocaust survivor. And he was describing a scene in his book, Night. I guess this was in Auschwitz. And so the guards took them, some of them, and walked them past these victims. And there were two men that were hanging from a rope, and they were dead. Their tongues hanging out, swollen, blue. But then there was a third rope, and on the third rope was a child. And the child, because the child was so light, the child wasn't dead yet, and the child was dangling, and his tongue was still red and his eyes not completely extinguished. And the guards forced them to look at the victim and look at that child. And one of the persons who was with Elie Wiesel behind him says, for God's sake, where is God? And Elie Wiesel heard a voice inside him say, where is God? This is where God is, hanging from the gallows. guess it was in reference to the child hanging. Where is God in an unjust world? God is in heaven. God is on earth. God is in the resorts. God is there when different people are colliding and deciding and working side by side. God is hanging on the cross, working for our redemption and our resurrection. God is there inside of me and you, bringing about health and wellness. I want to read from Matthew chapter 1. This is an account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah, his brothers, Judah, father of Perez and Zerah, Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. Where is God in an unjust world? According to that scripture, according to the Bible, God was somewhere mixed up in the life of Rahab, or you could say Rahab's life was somehow mixed up in the life of God. Where is God in an unjust world? God is at the crossroads. God is at the intersection of life, bringing salvation to us. Amen.